Welcome back to the second hour of It's a Question of Balance with Ruth Copeland. It's time for this week's in-depth interview with a special guest from the arts. And now, here's your host for It's a Question of Balance, Ruth Copeland.
Welcome back. And if you're a new listener, I wanted to let you know that this is a two-hour show in which we try to explore whether we have more in common than divides us. In the first hour of the show, we ask questions that matter, avoiding politics, instead focusing on issues that underlie politics and current events, issues that affect everybody locally and globally. And in this, the second hour, we balance the creative with the intellectual by featuring in-depth interviews with local, national and international guests from the arts. And the show combines a debate topic with an arts interview because I feel discussion and creativity are two of the most vital ways we engage with the world. It's all a question of balance. And if you'd like to find out more information about the show, you can go to the website, itsaquestionofbalance.com. There's podcasts of all the past shows there, lots of interesting topics and very interesting guests. So I encourage you to check that out. And you can also connect with me on social media, should you wish. Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn. So again, that's itsaquestionofbalance.com. Well, this week, as my special guest from the arts, I'm pleased to be interviewing Darren Korb, award-winning audio director, songwriter, and composer. Darren is audio director at independent game developer Supergiant Games, where he has composed the music, conducted voice recording, and created most of the sound effects for the small independent studio's critically acclaimed titles Bastion and Transistor. Bastion has sold over 3 million copies, and PC Gamer states, "Bastion is special. The soundtrack is phenomenal." Darren's scores for both games have garnered many industry awards. Awards for Bastion, which was the first video game score Darren had written, include Best Original Score at the Spike Video Game Awards, Best Music Award from Official Xbox Magazine, and Best Audio in a Casual Indie Social Game from the Game Audio Network Guild. In addition, the track Build That Wall, Zia's theme, won the Best Song in a Game Award from Spike Video Game Awards and the Song of the Year in GameSpot's Game of the Year Awards. The musical style of the soundtrack has been described by Korb as acoustic frontier trip-hop. It was intended to evoke both the American frontier and an exotic fantasy world. Darren's intention was to create a soundtrack in a style different from video game soundtracks he had heard before. And a soundtrack album for the game was released due to fan demand. Darren went on to write the score and songs for Supergiant Games' next release, Transistor, describing it as old-world electronic post-rock. The Transistor soundtrack album was released in 2014 and sold 48,000 copies within the first 10 days of release. Darren received his BA from NYU's Gallatin School in 2007, studying music production and music business. Since then, in addition to writing scores for Supergiant Games, he's worked as a session musician, produced several New York recording artists, composed for various TV and film projects, written a power pop musical, and authored songs for the Rock Band Network. He is also the 2010 National Rock Band Champion. Welcome to the show, Darren.
Hello, thank you.
So your career has been all about music in different forms, composing scores, songs, lyrics, production. I'm wondering if you can remember the first music you heard that made you want to create it yourself.
That's a tough question. I started really young in musical theater and performing a lot and singing. And I always enjoyed it, but I think it wasn't until at some point in high school when I learned about recording and multi-track recording that I really got super into the making of music and the writing of music. A couple of the early Weezer albums really had a big effect on me and made me want to make music like that.
And when you were doing sort of musical theater, were you singing predominantly, or did you also learn instruments?
I know musical theater. I was basically, I was mostly just singing and performing.
Right.
And I did that from when I was maybe about 5 years old until all the way through high school.
But you play the guitar, right?
Yeah, I play guitar, and I started learning to play the guitar when I was about 11, 11 or 12, and I play guitar and a few other instruments.
All right, cool. So when did you realize you wanted to pursue music as a career professionally rather than as a hobby or enjoyment?
I think it was around the time that I really got into recording music. It was the first time I discovered something where I could do any amount of it for any stretch of time and never get tired of the process and enjoy it completely the whole time. So I think once I started really getting into some kind of for fun projects that I did in high school, I had a high school band recording an album with that band and stuff sort of on my own, just trying to figure all that out, really sparked in me a desire to do music as much as I could. And I think, you know, I had maybe up until that time, maybe I wanted to go into film, possibly make filmmaking in some way. But I think I just, once I got my hands on sort of multi-track recording and the production aspect of music, I really felt like I had more of a knack for that, I think.
You've composed for TV and film projects, as well as composing video game scores and authoring songs for the Rock Band Network, as I mentioned. What motivated you to focus more on writing and recording than performing as an artist?
I think part of it was that I really enjoy the recording process a lot. And while I enjoy performing, certainly, I just think, for me anyway, it was harder to find an avenue to where I could be successful in that area. You know, I was in New York for a long time, and I tried getting bands together and playing around the city and stuff, but it's a really tough climate to do that unless you're fully just doing that all the time. Yeah, you know, you really have to throw yourself into it. And I had other things that I was at least as interested in. I think the recording stuff's been, you know, really fascinating for me because it's the type of thing where, you know, you can just sort of tinker endlessly, or at least now with the really powerful recording software available to people, you can really just sort of tinker endlessly in your bedroom or whatever, and that can be really rewarding and fulfilling. So I think that's probably why I chose to focus on the recording writing aspect more than the performance.
Right. And when you're speaking about recording, are you thinking about recording your own material and sort of writing and recording your own or also recording other people?
I did a little bit of recording some other people before I got into games. I mean, I was trying to, there was a point when I was in New York post-college, and I was just sort of trying to do anything in music that I possibly could where someone would pay me to do it, maybe. So I was producing some people and just sort of doing whatever I could, playing some musician gigs. But I think, something that's really a lot of fun for me is to have an idea, execute it myself, play it into my recording software, you know, and then create a finished piece of music kind of from start to finish is like a really satisfying process for me.
Yeah. For Bastion, you set out to create a soundtrack different from other games that you were aware of. What were the main elements that you wanted to be different?
Yeah, I mean, I had heard, you know, been playing video games my whole life, and I felt like the video game music that I was familiar with was some combination of either sort of electronic sounds, orchestral music, or sort of rock music, and maybe some of it combined a few of those elements. But that was sort of most of what I was aware of in games, and so I really wanted to try something that was not necessarily like other game music. And so I tried to lean into something more eclectic and something that had some acoustic elements and elements of types of music that I wasn't really familiar with hearing in games, you know, sort of blues and folk music and sort of Southern spirituals and trip hop and all sorts of strange things sort of juxtaposed, smashed together.
Mm. There's this thing in America when you come from outside, you know, in Britain our radio stations, music stations, you know, they play a whole range of music all mixed up together. And it's quite strange when you come here and, you know, every station only plays really, you know, one genre of music. So it's interesting to me, you know, that you've created this soundtrack that is eclectic, because it seems more natural in a way, because most people like more than one genre of music.
Yeah, I mean, I feel the same. I think you know, a lot of the radio play music played on the radio in America is just pretty weird these days. In that the playlists are really small, and you know, just not very representative of all the amazing stuff that's out there. It's sort of like a really tiny little swath of stuff that's, you know, has a certain kind of you know, corporate support and all sorts of other things. So I think it's really a shame in some ways that there's not more, you know, more eclectic music on the radio, or at least on, you know, major radio stations. But yeah, I mean, I definitely, it felt natural to me to do it, which is why I went that way, just because it was a combination of wanting to do something that I hadn't heard, and also partially it was sort of dictated by what am I going to be able to pull off by myself with no music budget.
You know,
I can't afford a recording studio. That's not my bedroom. I can't hire musicians. I can't. So it has to be stuff I can just execute all by myself in my room.
Mm.
And so part of using, you know, sort of canned sampled hip hop drums or, you know, trip hop, you know, drums and stuff like that, was, you know, I can't afford a studio and I could record a drum set, you know,
for example.
I don't like the way my string samples sound, and I can't record, you know, generally speaking, I can't record an orchestra, so, you know, I'm not going to do that.
Yes, yeah, and that's because Supergiant Games was a startup, basically. I mean,
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. The company, so one of my good buddies from growing up is one of the co-founders of the company, and he just asked me to do it because he thought I could. I didn't really have any experience working in games. I mean, I had no experience working in games, and he sort of had faith in my abilities and asked me to do it. And the company started out of his dad's living room.
Oh, wow!
and that's where everybody. You know, I work remotely on the first two games, but that's where the company started out of his dad's living room. Everybody came to work at, you know, in his dad's house.
Right. Well, it must have been very affirming when the soundtrack went on to win all these awards.
Yeah, I mean, it was totally, totally shocking to me. and part of that is that I had done stuff before that I thought was pretty cool.
Uh huh.
And you know, didn't make any noise. You know, nobody, nobody else cared too much about it. And for the soundtrack for Bastion, you know, I felt like it was cool, but I kind of felt like it was cool. Like I felt like a lot of the other stuff I'd done was pretty cool. I don't know.
Yes.
I don't think I had any reason to expect that it would be different from that. So it was really a shock and obviously a pleasant surprise when people responded so well.
Yeah. I think in the arts, there's definitely an aspect of timing and momentum with sure. art. I mean, you see sure. that in so many people, and you know, people who've died and then gone on later to be, you know, hugely yep. revered. It is, yep. you know, this mysterious process. But I'm very happy that you know, fell on the right side of that. If you just joined us, you're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and my special guests from the arts this week, Darren Korb, award-winning songwriter, composer, and audio director. We're going to a break now. We'll be back after these messages.
Do you like
the music from It's a Question of Balance with Ruth Copeland. Have you ever wondered what the full songs sound like? Now you can find out by listening to the new EP, It's a Question of Balance Music, available from iTunes, Amazon, and itsaquestionofbalance.com.
About you in the rain. Did I or didn't I say it's forever? Well, I know I said it, babe, it just goes nowhere.
It's a Question of Balance Music. Download individual tracks or the whole EP from iTunes, Amazon, or itsaquestionofbalance.com.
Hi, this is Jackie from Integrity Event Planning. Are you coordinating an event? Don't know how you'll get it all done? Stop sweating the small stuff. We plan everything from family events to fundraising and corporate events. Contact Integrity Event Planning for your next event. Check out our website, integrityeventplanning.com. Integrity, it's what sets us apart. With 16 years of experience, we negotiate with your bottom line and needs in mind. So sit back and relax and let us serve the champagne. We've got this.
For your next event, visit integrityeventplanning.com. That's integrityeventplanning.com.
Dream, baby, dream.
Welcome back. You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copeland, and my special guest from the arts, Darren Korb, award-winning audio director, songwriter, and composer. And before the break, we were talking about Darren's soundtrack, award-winning soundtrack for the video game Bastion. And I'd like to play Setting Sail, Coming Home from Bastion. So I was wondering, Darren, if you can tell us a bit about Bastion and the action in the game that this track accompanies.
Yeah, absolutely. So Bastion, it's sort of a frontier fantasy action role-playing game. And, you know, it's about a world that has a great calamity happen in it. And you play as a kid who wakes up floating on a rock in the sky and has to try to make sense of the world and put it back together the best he can. And this track, this particular track, comes during end credit sequence of the game. And it combines sort of two other songs from the game that two different characters sing. And so it sort of mashes them up together at the end.
Oh, cool. Okay. Well, this is Setting Sail, Coming Home by Darren Korb from Bastion.
We'll be right back.
Well, that was Setting Sail, Coming Home by Darren Korb from the video game Bastion. That's a great track, Darren.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Yeah.
The vocalist you're hearing there, the male vocalist is me, and then the other vocalist is my friend Ashley Barrett, who is super talented and does all the female singing on the soundtracks that I've worked on so far.
Yeah, beautiful voice. It's very evocative, and I also have noticed listening to it more. The more I listen to the tracks, the more I like them. And, you know, that's not true of all music, and most music these days is so consumable instantly that once you've heard it twice, you're like, okay, I'm done with that, you know?
Yeah.
It's always nice when tracks, like, really, you know, just keep getting better and better. I understand the music in Bastion is specifically tailored for the developments the character is going through. How do you approach writing the music for kind of each moment in the game?
That's a good question. It's there's a lot of different approaches, I think, and it's a combination of a lot of different things. A lot of it is sort of, for me, based on just sort of feeling and tone. And I feel like one of the big goals of music in a game is to express and reinforce the tone, the emotional tone of the game, and help the player be immersed in the world of the game, and to also feel, you know, if there's a particular emotional beat in the story happening at a certain time, to try and reinforce that, and you know, be further, just basically, yeah, to reinforce it. I think it's probably the best way to put it.
Yeah, also to draw you into the game.
Yeah, exactly. To complete the immersion. So for at the beginning of the process of working on Bastion, I just sort of started making music that I thought might express the tone and themes that we were talking about. You know, one of the high level ideas we had very early on in Bastion was, well, what if Cormac McCarthy made a fantasy video game? You know, and so that was sort of a guiding light for me at the beginning of the project, just to point towards that and mm-hmm. see, well, what would that sound like if there was a weird Cormac McCarthy fantasy video game, you know? Kind of grim Western frontiersy elements to it. Post-apocalyptic game. And so something that would express a lot of those different the feelings that would be associated with that was sort of where I was aiming. And so I started there, and then once I had a few pieces and had sort of defined the tone of the music that I wanted to make for the game, we sort of went section by section in the game, and each section of the game has a pretty different landscape. So the first sort of section of the game is sort of a Byzantine-type place, like a city, you know, sort of an ancient Byzantine city is sort of the vibe.
Uh-huh.
And so I made some pieces to reflect that, and I made a sort of intense one, a sort of one that just introduces you to that spot, which is sort of sort of medium intensity, and then a sort of melancholy or quiet one. And I proceeded to do that sort of thing. I made a few pieces, you know, for different moods of each place that the game, the various parts of the game were set.
Right.
So that's sort of how I proceeded there.
Yeah. How different is it writing for a video game than, say, for film, for example, which I know you've done as well?
Yeah, I've done a little bit of film. You know, and my film experience is I wrote songs, actually, for
okay.
film. You know, it's interesting because I've done a little bit of score for film. I take it back. a very small amount. But I think, you know, video games... It's definitely different because you're not scoring to picture, really, at least in our case, where it's not like a cutscene or something that is locked, has a locked set timing.
Yeah.
So you can't do super specific moment to moment stuff unless
right.
you do some very, very complicated implementation of the music, which on Bastion, we didn't have the tools to do that at the time, the software we were using. So I really just had to make pieces that expressed a particular feeling and had an arc in and of themselves. I really approached each piece like a song with a traditional song structure with an A-B-A-B or an, you know, A-B-A-B-C, something, you know, some sort of 2-3-part structure and really just approached them like songs because that was A, it was sort of what I was comfortable with because that's my background as a songwriter. I don't really have as much experience as a traditional composer necessarily.
Right.
And also because of the nature of the way you experience the music in a game, you know, a lot of the sort of scored feeling that you get, I'm doing air quotes with my fingers, but you can't see that. A lot of the sort of scored feeling that you get is from when you press the play button for the player in the game, when the piece starts, and then when the next piece starts, and what, you know, what pieces those are, and how they relate to the action of what you're doing, and you know, and how they reinforce that. So I think a lot of the scored, the game feeling scored, that's owed mostly to the implementation in the game and the work of our designers, Greg and Amir, who implemented the music in the game.
Right. The next track I'd like to play is We All Become from Supergiant Games' new game, Transistor. Before we hear it, can you just tell us a little bit about Transistor and what part of the game this song is from?
Yes, is a like a science fiction action RPG, and it takes place in sort of a vintage feeling science fiction setting. And you play as Red, who is a singer who's lost her voice and finds herself in possession of this sort of ultimate weapon, extremely powerful sword that talks. She's making her way, basically sets out to see, to find out, to try and get answers for what's happened to her, why she's lost her voice, and confront the people who attacked her, and sets out across the city. And this song is sung by the very talented Ashley Barrett, and it is from, it's from Transistor.
Great. Well, this is We All Become by Darren Korb. I really like that track. It's great.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. And I mean, this is the highest praise. When I heard it, I thought, wow, that would make a great Bond theme tune. So I'm lobbying for you to do the next Bond theme tune. Yeah. And what a wonderful vocalist Ashley is. Yeah. It's really, really lovely. If you just joined us, you're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and my special guest from the arts, award-winning audio director, songwriter and composer, Darren Korb. We're going to a break now, but we'll be back after these messages.
Hi, I'm Casey, and I'm the second-generation owner of Bookshop Santa Cruz. We pride ourselves on being Santa Cruz's community bookstore, and have been located in the heart of downtown Santa Cruz for over 47 years. We feature an extensive selection of new and used books, children's books and toys, gifts, cards, magazines, and games. Our knowledgeable booksellers can help you find just the right book or gift. We hope you can join us for our author events each week, featuring best-selling authors and books of local interest. And if you can't get downtown, our website has over 3.2 million titles, which ship directly to your home. We even have experts on site to help you publish your own book or family history. Come visit us downtown or at our website, bookshopsantacruz.com.
Ciao, I'm Luca from Tramonti at 528 Seabright Avenue, steps from the ocean. We are the authentic Italian pizza and pasta restaurant, serving also organic salad and house-made dessert in a friendly family-style atmosphere, indoor or on our lovely patio.
Tramonti is open every day from noon to 9 and later on Fridays and Saturdays. Come enjoy our specials every Tuesday neighborhood night and the best deal for a healthy bite at lunch every day.
We bake our bread and prep our fresh pasta and pizza daily. Beppe, Daniel, and I want to say grazie to the Santa Cruz community for supporting us in the past 2 years. Allora, buon appetito!
Visit Luca and Beppe at Tremonti, 528 Seabright Avenue. That's Tremonti, 528 Seabright Avenue.
Welcome back. You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and my special guest this week, Darren Korb. And if you want more information about Darren and links to the soundtracks we've been listening to, or tracks from the soundtracks we've been listening to, or more information about the games, you can go to the website supergiantgames.com. Supergiantgames.com. So the soundtrack for Transistor you've described as old world electronic post rock. So what does that mean to you, Darren?
I think it's really just representative of the different elements I've tried to pull together to ultimately kind of form the musical genre that I tried to make all the music in for that game. And you know, the sort of old world reflects a lot of the instrument choices I've made, which are sort of older European instruments. There's accordions and harps and all sorts of things that are sort of more commonly associated with either like kind of like a gypsy vibe or you know, sort of things like that. There's a lot of harp all over the record, and then electronic. You know, there are a lot of electronic components. It is sort of I wanted to give a sort of some component of the music to give a computerized or a feel that gives, you know, that definitely gives the impression that there are electronics involved with the making of music, and that butted up against the traditional acoustic instruments and things like that, harp and accordion and the like. And then post rock, I think that element of it reflects a lot of the electric guitar work on the record, which there is a lot more of it on the Transistor record than I was, say, on Bastion, and sort of the nature of how that's used, with sort of a lot of spooky delay and reverb effects and stuff like that.
And is that you playing the electric guitar?
Yeah, it's
me. Cool. So you've got this sort of combination going on of real and digital instruments that is sort of creating the two aspects of the game in a way, that, you know, the sort of futuristic aspect, but also the kind of going back to the old world.
Exactly, yeah. Sort of a vintage futurism was one of our kind of, you know, tent poles that we set up for ourselves early on, was to try and aim for like a vintage futurism kind of feel. And so, yeah, the music, one of the goals was to reflect that tone for sure.
Mm. You're the audio director at Supergiant Games, which involves a lot of technical stuff as well as the creative. So I'm thinking you obviously enjoy having left and right brain activities.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think even the process of recording music really, really kind of tickles both sides of the brain for sure.
Right, yeah.
Just because it's a very, very technical process, and a lot of it is sort of problem solving. And you have a creative idea, and then that's the first half of it, and then the other half of it is how do you translate that into an actual thing you can hear that sounds like it does in your brain.
Right.
And so, yeah, there's a lot of technical things involved. But you know, a lot of what I do is I make sound effects and implement them in the game, and I record our voice actors and produce and direct those sessions as well.
Mm. Yeah, because the narration style of the game was very liked by the critics as well.
Yeah, for sure. Our actor Logan Cunningham is an old friend of mine and my buddy Amir. We all grew up together, and at the time we started working on Bastion, he was my roommate in New York, and we were experimenting with. We were trying to solve for what we saw as a problem in games, which was we wanted to convey story without stopping the game, you know, without taking control away from the player and saying, here's a cutscene or here's a bunch of text you have to read to understand what's going on.
Mm.
And one of the things that we thought about trying was, well, Logan's a good actor. Let's get him to come to my room tomorrow and record some narration and see what that does to the feel of the game. And we really liked it, what it did, and just sort of ran with it. And we ended up doing something that wasn't exactly the same, but sort of similar in Transistor as well, where Logan is sort of the character that you take with you on your journey the whole time.
Hmm, interesting. The last track I'd like to play from the Transistor soundtrack is Old Friends. Can you paint a picture for us of what's happening in the game at the time we would hear this music?
Yes. I believe this is actually the first track of music that you hear when you play Transistor. And this piece was really important for me creatively. I had been experimenting on Transistor with different musical styles and trying to find my center, my creative center and direction for what I wanted to do on a game. And I must have made, I don't know, 8 or 10 pieces before I made this one that were sort of in the neighborhood. But when I made this piece, I really felt like, okay, that's the tone. That's how I want to proceed from here on out. So it was really important for me creatively, and that's why I wanted to show it.
Oh, cool. Okay. Well, this is Old Friends by Darren Korb from Transistor. Well, that was Old Friends by Darren Korb from the Transistor soundtrack. It's interesting hearing this music. I'm not a gamer, but it's making me want to play the game.
Awesome. Good to hear.
So just to remind listeners again, if you're interested in finding out more information about Darren or how you can get the soundtracks or find out more about the games, you can go to supergiantgames.com, supergiantgames.com. So I wanted to ask you, Darren, I understand you've written a power pop musical, and power pop draws inspiration from the 60s British and American pop and rock music, usually with strong melodies, harmonies, and prominent use of guitar riffs. I'm curious what the story is about.
Yeah, I actually wrote this with my brother a few years back, I guess in the middle, late 2000s, we actually did a stage reading of it in the a New York Musical Theater Festival, I guess in 2011, I think, or 2010, I forget. But but it was, yeah, so it's about two best friends who are roommates and have been for a long time, and one of them is going to get kicked out, and he's sort of a schemer and decides that they should get married so that he can keep the apartment, and wackiness ensues.
Uh-huh. What are your hopes for it? Has it been performed yet?
Yeah, we did. We did stage reading of it, but beyond that, no, it hasn't. We sort of, my brother and I both got very busy shortly after we did that.
So
it sort of it exists. It's sitting there. Maybe someday we'll come back to it. We're thinking about turning it. So my brother, it's based on a screenplay that my brother had written that we then converted into a musical play.
Oh, interesting.
And now he's sort of in the process of converting it back to a musical movie. So maybe we'll go that route. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think there's this gap in the market for musical films, and, you know, occasionally one comes along like Across the Universe or something that, you know, just is done really well. And I think it's a shame that that genre has receded, really, because it's an art form in and of itself. And so I hope that comes off. What made you decide to go with sort of power pop as the musical style?
You know, it's something that I like personally a lot and was comfortable writing in at the time. You know, it was something that a lot of the music that I really love, I mean, you know, like I said, early Weezer, I mean, I would say that I would define that as power pop.
Right.
For sure. And this band I really love called Ozma, who's sort of was heavily influenced by early Weezer, and some people compare them a lot together. And some other bands, this band Spiraling, and even a band called Not a Surf, and some other groups like that, were a big influence to the music of that particular project. I mean, it was just sort of music that I liked a lot and wanted to write in.
Yeah, and a good genre for sort of communicating narrative, or, you know, as well, a story. If art is about communication, is there anything specific you feel that you want to communicate through your music?
Oh, geez, that's a tough one. I'm not sure that there is anything specific other than when I make a piece of music, it's important for me that I convey the emotion of the piece to the best of my ability, and the listener doesn't have to get that out of it. Even, you know, that's not my goal necessarily. It's just that I put everything I can into the piece in that way, and make it feel as good as possible to me. And hopefully people will respond to that in some way. And it, you know, again, it's not something specific that I'm trying to communicate necessarily, but it's, in general, at least, you know, in when I'm writing a song with lyrics for a game there or something else, there are often specific things that I do want to be communicated lyrically. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, I think it's just, you know, I really want people to understand the emotional tone of a piece of music and feel that somehow.
Yeah, yeah. And we're going towards the end of the show, but I did want to ask you about being National Rock Band Champion. That must have been quite an achievement. Felt really good.
It was, it's one of the that's some of the most fun I've ever had, for sure. It was basically a battle of the band, and the finals were held. There were regionals, And then the finals were held in Atlantic City. So we traveled to Atlantic City with my rock band, my fake band.
So I'll stop you for a minute, because as I said, I'm not a gamer. Because there's two kinds of, well, maybe I'm thinking of something else. There's one where you just play guitar, and then there's one where there's actually people like doing drums and everything. Is that right?
Yeah. So it's a fake band. It's the vocalist, the fake guitar player, fake bassist, and fake drummer. So it was a battle of the bands, and we were judged on performance and costume and score and all sorts of stuff. We must have spent, 40 hours a week for a month or something preparing for.
Oh my gosh.
It was fun. But so it was really exciting. We won, we got one of those giant checks, and we got to meet Ringo Starr and all sorts of, it was great.
Yeah. Oh, wow. And you're using the instruments to play the game. Is that how it works?
Yeah. So the way it works is a music simulation game where there are, you have a guitar with, five color-coded buttons on it and a little strum bar, and, gems come down the screen at you that are color-coded, and so you just basically have to match the particular, gems on the screen, and it really ends up feeling like you're playing the music, because it's all based on the rhythm of the part from the actual song. And same with the drums, all the different drums are color-coded, so the way it ends up feeling is that you're really playing, playing something that's very close to the music, especially on drums. And the vocal part is just the same. It's just, you have to just sing the song as accurately as you can.
That's cool. So finally, we've got about a minute left. What are you working on now?
I'm working with Supergiant Games, and, we're still too early to talk about what we're working on next, but, I'm just keeping my head down, just getting ready to work on that some more.
So you're still enjoying writing four games?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I'm having a blast. And, video games has been a passion of mine since I was a little kid, and I never thought that it would be part of my career. But, when it happened and sort of fell into my lap, it was, wonderful, happy accident.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're from San Jose, but you live in New York, is that right?
I actually moved to San Francisco in January.
So, oh, right. Okay.
So I'm reasonably local now, yeah.
Oh, that's great. Well, we really appreciate you coming on the show. Thank you so much for making the time.
My pleasure.
And I just want to remind listeners again that you can go to supergiantgames.com. Supergiantgames.com. You can find out information there about the games, Transistor and Bastion, about Darren. And you can also get info on how to get the scores for both those games, which are both available on as soundtracks. So I would encourage you to do that. The music is really beautiful and evocative, very high quality music. And also wanted to remind you, you can go to my website, itsaquestionofbalance.com, and hear podcasts there of all past shows. If you enjoy this show, you can tell your friends about it. They can go and hear the interview with Darren there. There's also podcasts of all my previous topics too. So that's itsaquestionofbalance.com. And connect with me on social media, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, should you wish. It's been great being with you. I'll see you next week.